This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, April 12th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. After a unionization vote that gained attention from celebrities and politicians, including even the president of the United States, workers at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama voted against forming what would have been the company's first U.S. union. On today's show, our tech editor Bradley Olson will explain why workers voted no and what that could mean for other unionization efforts across the tech world. That's after these headlines. Court documents filed in a Texas antitrust lawsuit show that for years, Google secretly used data from past bids in its digital advertising exchange. The state alleges that that effort, known as Project Bernanke, gave Google's own ad buying system an advantage over competitors. Project Bernanke generated hundreds of millions of dollars in annual revenue for the company, the documents show, and wasn't disclosed to publishers who sold ads through Google. The documents were part of Google's initial response to an antitrust suit filed last year by a coalition of 10 states led by Texas, which accused Google of running a digital ad monopoly that harmed both ad industry competitors and publishers. The filing showed that Texas sees Project Bernanke as a critical part of that effort. In its response, Google acknowledged the existence of Project Bernanke. It denied, though, that there was anything inappropriate about the program's use of data. A spokesman said the lawsuit misrepresents many aspects of Google's ad tech business and that the company looks forward to making its argument in court. Speaking of online advertising, researchers at the University of Southern California have found that Facebook systems are more likely to present job ads to users if their gender identity reflects the concentration of that gender in a particular position or industry. The researchers say that that suggests a platform whose algorithm, quote, learns and perpetuates the existing difference in employee demographics. A spokesman for Facebook says its system takes many signals into account to try and serve people ads they'll be most interested in, but that Facebook understood the concerns raised in the report. She also said that Facebook had taken meaningful steps to address discrimination in ads and that they had teams continuing to work on ads fairness. And today, top Biden administration officials will meet with senior executives from Ford, General Motors, Intel, Alphabet, and others to address the ongoing chip shortage. The shortage has forced many players in the automotive industry to cut production in recent months and has caused manufacturing hitches elsewhere in the tech world as well. The White House is likely to use today's gathering to sell President Biden's $2.3 trillion infrastructure proposal, which, as we've discussed on the show, includes $50 billion for the American semiconductor industry. All right, coming up after the break, why workers at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama voted against unionizing. That's next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
After a closely watched election, the National Labor Relations Board estimates that 71% of the Amazon workers at a warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, voted against joining the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. The outcome is a victory for Amazon, one of the country's largest employers, and it could have a major ripple effect in the tech industry and beyond. So here to talk more about this is our tech editor, Bradley Olson. Hey, Brad, thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here, Amanda.
Okay, Brad, so can you just start by bringing us up to speed? The group behind this unionization effort, RWDSU, what were they pushing for and what changes did they want to see at Amazon?
Well, one of the main things that they were looking for, and I guess what's come up a lot in the discussions about what it's like to work at Amazon, is how workers are tracked. You know, there are a lot of cameras and there's a lot of AI that kind of shows whenever people take breaks, whenever they step away. and also the rate at which they have to sort packages. And I think that some of the workers there would talk about injuries or like they didn't feel like they could take bathroom breaks. And Amazon, you know, would kind of say that, you know, people can take breaks when they need to, and they would kind of oppose some of what they would say was rhetoric from critics. But that was some of the things that they were pushing for. And I think the ability to organize and to talk to managers. Another thing that was really important for a lot of Amazon employees, not just in Alabama, but elsewhere, was sort of having the ability to negotiate over working conditions during the pandemic. There were a lot of workers that felt a little unprotected, probably about a year ago, that complained and said they didn't feel like it was safe to go to work. And of course, Amazon installed a lot of processes over those months as they were getting a huge surge in orders. But that was definitely something that drove people to concern and consideration of the opportunities to organize and unionize.
You know, one of the things that we heard Amazon really emphasize over the course of this election is that they pay $15 an hour, which is more than double the minimum wage in Alabama and more than double the federal minimum wage. Brad, beyond that, what's Amazon's perspective on this? What do they say to those workers' concerns and to this effort more broadly?
They say that they start out paying people very well, and then they also have a generous healthcare benefits for those workers. And so I think if you survey the landscape of what you might call unskilled or low-skilled labor, labor that's very physical, you know, working in fast food, working in other things that might be similar to working at Amazon, the pay is relatively high. And so I think they would say, like, it's already better, and we already listen to our workers. And so if people, they would, you know, one of the websites that Amazon started was called Do It Without Dues, doitwithoutdues.com. But what they were trying to say to their employees is, look, you don't have to pay dues to a union. You know, you can object, you can win changes, you know, by kind of organizing locally. It's not necessary, and they will take money out of your paycheck. I think that was the main case that they would make when they were opposing this unionization effort.
And so now, of course, we have these results after a months-long effort that became pretty high profile. Amazon workers ultimately voted against unionization. Is this the outcome we were expecting? Is this surprising?
I think in the reporting that we had done before this, we had definitely pointed toward that it was an uphill battle for these workers to gain unionization. And so I don't think I was surprised at the result so much as the margin of victory was a surprise to me. You know, for it to have been pretty consistently about 70% of those who voting against unionization, you know, it never really changed even from the beginning of the vote counting last week. That's pretty much what it stayed at. And so I think the surprise there is just knowing, like, well, where is the margin? Where is a place where a majority of workers would take this vote? Some people that, you know, were siding with the pro-union workers feel like it's just too hard, that the legislation right now is antiquated and needs to be revised. And there was a little bit of that coming out of the White House after the result was clear on Friday. I think it was Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, that said something to the effect of, you know, that President Biden is looking at legislation at some of these rules and how unionization happens.
You know, for those workers who voted against unionizing, what do we know about their reasoning?
Well, what we understand, a lot of them were, you know, there were a lot of meetings that Amazon had, and they kind of did the best that they could to get their message out. But the point that Amazon made, like I said, was that they could do it without dues. One of the things that Amazon brought up in meetings, they went and looked at other union contracts and kind of showed the workers, you know, what the union contract had. And some of the workers said that it didn't look like it would be a significant amount of money. Another thing that some workers said was that in the back of their minds, there was some fear of the possibility of Amazon reducing its footprint in Alabama or shutting down or not necessarily opening two other plants because of unionization. So they felt there was some risk to taking a vote for unionization, that ultimately in the back of their minds, they did feel like they were concerned about how big is the benefit we would get versus the risk that we would face in taking this step. And I think that speaks to some of what the supporters were saying about how they believe that the way the law is written, that it's too hard at this time.
Yeah. And on that note, you know, the Retail, Wholesale and Department Store Workers Union has said that they plan to appeal the vote. And they're accusing Amazon of violating some legal restrictions around those sorts of campaigns. Here's the union's president, Stuart Applebaum, speaking in a press conference on Friday.
Amazon misled and manipulated workers. They lied and tried to game the system. not only did they take full advantage of our terrible labor laws, we contend that they broke the law repeatedly in their no-holds-barred effort to stop workers from forming a union.
Brad, what is the union alleging here?
Well, one of the things that they brought up specifically was the fact that Amazon reached out to the U.S. Postal Service and asked them to install a mailbox right near the facility. And Amazon says, hey, we did this simply so workers could submit their ballots easily. But what the union said is that this could have given workers the impression that Amazon was conducting the election, that it sort of wasn't safe for them to vote the way that they felt. And so that was one of the things they brought up. And I believe there will probably be others. And in terms of what's next, I think there will most likely be a filing or some public action in which the union sort of outlines a few more of the things that they felt like Amazon did that were improper. I believe that they have about a week to contest the results in a more official way. And then the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, which is the federal agency that counted the votes, will ultimately certify a winner. You know, what could happen in that result is that they could, you know, it's possible that the election could be nullified and they could have to hold another election. But again, I think it's worth looking at this margin of victory as you kind of reassess whether another election would create a different result. You know, if it had been closer, it might be easier to imagine that that would be the case. But, you know, 70-30 split is a pretty wide margin there.
So what does Amazon say to those allegations? And what else are we hearing from them about the outcome of this election?
Well, Amazon says that, you know, the outcome definitely means that people like working there, that people didn't see a need to unionize. And also, you know, they said that they conducted everything they did was in keeping with the law. You know, and in these unionization votes, there's sort of a period of time when each side can make its case. And then there's sort of a voting period when they're really not supposed to do a lot of that after that. And Amazon says it followed those laws. And with the mailbox, they said it was just something we did to help workers, you know. So I think the specifics remain to be seen, but that's kind of what they've said. And then they've just kind of talked about the idea that they listen to workers is something that I think will be tested, you know, because while there may not be other big unionization votes that are right around the corner, I do think there will be organized worker actions in a lot of places.
Yeah. And on that note, you know, we've been following some growing unionization efforts across the tech industry and growing employee activism across the tech industry at Google, for instance, among other places. What could this outcome mean for those other efforts?
Well, it's interesting you bring those up because you do have this sort of split in the tech industry. You know, a lot of the companies are sort of like, you're talking about corporate jobs and people that are in engineering roles and other kinds of roles that are, you know, more or less work for the headquarters. And then you have jobs like those at Amazon that are like the people who deliver the goods. And Google doesn't really necessarily have a lot of those kinds of workers. I think the only other tech company that I can think of that does off the top of my head is Tesla. You know, they have workers that are, you know, more in the assembly and manufacture of the cars. And so I do think that's a fundamental difference that's there. But even as that being stated, I think that you have seen a lot of workers kind of expressing their displeasure with the power and some of the decision making that's happened at big tech companies. And I definitely think that will continue. Now, one of the things that you see when you see activism is it can look like the activism on its own doesn't necessarily have a huge impact. But if you kind of assess what the companies do in response to it, sometimes it really does, you know. And so I think that's what one of the things that I would point to just as an observer of these technology companies is that, you know, yes, the activism can sometimes seem to be from a very small group of workers. It's not clear how widespread it is among the workforces, but the companies do seem to be responsive to some of these concerns that come up. I have seen a number of examples of that.
All right. Our tech editor, Bradley Olson. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Amanda.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.